Thank you, Gordon. Welcome to the worship service this morning, those that are in the sanctuary, those that are online. I'm Pastor Craig Larson, along with Pastor Mike Sager. We get to be the pastors here at Desert Hills, and truly is a privilege to share always the good news and the grace and the gospel that God has so provided because of his son, Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements. At Desert Hills, we have our wonderful mission statement. And it truly is that gift to be able to say, at Desert Hills, we celebrate, grace. We make, disciples. Who? Make a and certainly you do. In the people that you come in contact with during the week, it truly is a gift as we're able to portray and to reflect the love that Jesus has for each one of us. Just a couple of things. Note that next weekend, the fair trade sales are going to be happening down in the hallway. It's an excellent opportunity to get chocolate and coffees and teas and oils. And it really is one of these fantastic programs that puts more money back into the people that actually produce the product. So you're helping so many people by the purchases that you make. Next Tuesday, we'll have the third in the series of the Crash Course in Church. If you have not had to have gone to the first two, each one is a standalone. This third one is going to talk about Lutherans in North America, as well as some of the church practices, to get an opportunity to, again, to assume the various things that we've grown up with, but not everybody understands that the place that you walked in right there by the guest book and the welcome table is called the Narthex. It's one of those things of where not everybody knows what that is when somebody says, oh, I'll meet you in the Narthex. Is that out in the parking lot? So some of those little things we'll be talking about on Tuesday. This coming Wednesday, yes, the long-awaited Monsoon concert is happening. Tickets are still available. It's an opportunity to come this Wednesday at 6:30 to hear some marvelous musicians. Tickets are on sale still, and I would say pick them up at the church office. $25 cash or card, cash or check, or $27 if you want to use a credit card. Because of the Monsoon concert, we're all so sad, but Pastor Mike is not going to be doing his Wednesday Bible study. Oh. As they set up the sanctuary, as they set up the fellowship hall, it truly is one of those times of where you'll have to read the Bible on your own this week. Note that also, we're going to be having next Sunday an organizational meeting to set up perhaps a Via de Cristo here. If you've already been part of a Via de Cristo weekend, Walk to Emmaus, or Curcio, we're inviting you to have this informational meeting on next Sunday following the 11 o'clock service, so probably about 12:15. If you have any questions at all about that, you can come see me or let me know, and we'll go from there. But it's just an organizational thing for those who have already gone through one of these three experiences. Hunger Walk is happening Saturday, September 9th at Quail Creek Veterans Municipal Park at 8 a.m. To register to walk in the park, walk on your own, or just donate, there's registration forms that are on the table in the Narthex that you can pick up and fill out. And truly, as we know, hunger is such a big, big issue for so many people. So take a moment for that. Gaslight Theater tickets are still available. We are organizing the activity, which will be on January 28th at 3 p.m. Tickets are $28, and you have to pick those up, and that's by check or cash at the front desk. Well, those are the announcements this morning, and so let's go ahead and begin our service with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that you have called us, that you have gathered us, that you have brought us here to this place, whether in person or those that are viewing us online. May your Spirit continue to so permeate our time and our worship that, Lord, we get that sense to know that you are the one that has come to give us that sense of forgiveness and joy that we have because of your blessed Son. Lord, as we live out our lives, may we be refreshed by this time where we're able to give you our praise and our thanksgiving. Lord, we know and we believe this because of the love that you have shown, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In his name, amen. Please stand as we sing our opening hymn.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship.
O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, Chapter 17, starting with verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, starting with verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Beloved people of God, both here in sanctuary and online, may the Holy Spirit give you lives like a tree planted by a stream that is constantly fed by the living waters of God's grace and God's love. Amen. For the next couple weeks, starting last week, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. What does it mean to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives that God graciously gives to us? And how do we prepare ourselves to receive that fruit? If you were here last week, you heard that Jesus reminds us that what comes out of our mouths reflects what's in our heart. What comes out of our mouth reflects what's in our heart. We make the statement, we sing the songs, "Lord, make my heart be good soil." We know that in order to have a tree that produces fruit, it begins by having good soil, a place where it can be nurtured and grown. And so we ask God to make our hearts good soil, where God's grace can grow and flourish. This week, we are reminded from the prophet Jeremiah that we need to nurture our spirits by life-giving water. Like a tree planted next to a stream that is constantly finding nourishment by life-giving water, we too need to refresh our spirits constantly. That we need a constant source of living, life-giving water for our lives and our faith to grow and be strong. Throughout Scripture, this image of water and the need to be planted near our source is constant. That's one of the many images that Scripture uses to remind us as people of faith that we need to put our roots deeply into God's promises and God's love. Prophet Jeremiah reminds us of that. And this morning we hear from Jesus that same proclamation, where Jesus stands up on the last day of the festival. The Feast of Tabernacles. So what's really going on in John chapter 7 when Jesus stands up and makes that proclamation? In fact, in these short verses is a proclamation that ties all of the Gospel of John and really Jesus' ministry into this one festival. If you go back to the beginning of John 7, you'll discover that Jesus is now in Galilee, and he's in Galilee because he knows that the Jewish leadership wants to have him arrested and killed. He knows he can't show up in Jerusalem because if he does, they'll try to arrest him, and it's not his time yet. But we hear that Jesus' brothers come. They come to Jesus and invite Jesus to go with them to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. Because the Feast of the Tabernacle, along with the celebration of Pentecost and Passover, is one of the three festivals, three times of gathering, that as a Jewish faithful male, you are required to go to Jerusalem. So they're simply inviting him along with them, because they're going to Jerusalem. And what's interesting in the beginning of John 7 is they tell Jesus, "Well, you can do some of those miracles that we've heard you do other places." But then John says, but his brothers don't believe in him. They just want him to show off a little bit, see what he can do. But they don't trust in Jesus as the Messiah. He's their brother. He's not their Lord. But we're told Jesus says, no, I can't go yet. It's not my time. So Jesus' brothers go off to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, we hear the crowds are asking the same questions. We thought Jesus would show up. We thought Jesus would show up because he's a faithful Jewish man. He should be here. The Jewish leadership is asking the same question. Where's Jesus? We thought we would find him here. We thought we could have him arrested. Why isn't he here? And the crowds, there's mutterings and murmurings about who Jesus is. Some are saying, well, you know, he has done miracles. He's one from God. Others say, no, he's not. He's just crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So this going on in Jerusalem as this festival begins, this festival of the tabernacle. And what is the festival of the tabernacle? The festival of the tabernacle is to remember and reimagine where God provided for the people of Israel from the time of their exodus from Egypt, from captivity, to the promised land. Those who gather in Jerusalem live in booths or tents to remind themselves that their ancestors lived in tents for those 40 years. They built temporary shelters to reimagine what it must have been like for their ancestors. So each day they lived in tents, in booths that they set up all around the temple. At the beginning of the festival, which lasts 8 days, on the first night of the Sabbath, the priests would climb up 75 feet up in the air. And there at the top of the 75 are lampstands. And they would light 4 lampstands. And it is said the light from the lampstands were so bright, every courtyard in Jerusalem was lit up by these 4 lampstands. These 4 lampstands were to remind the people of Israel how God went before them in a pillar of fire, giving them light at night, and that God was the light of the world. Sound familiar? The writer of John says Jesus is the light of the world. Every night, that flame from those lampstands would fill Jerusalem with its light. God is the light of the world. Then in the morning, one of the priests would grab a golden pitcher and walk through the city of Jerusalem to the Pool of Siloam. A pool that was fed by a stream, so the water was constantly being renewed. A pool that they used for ritual bathing to purify themselves before they went into the temple. The priest would grab and put the pitcher into the water and pull it out and walk through the streets. People singing, musicians playing, people celebrating because God is living water. God provided them water when they were in the desert. God cared for them. And each day the priest would pour the water out as a sacrifice to God, reminding the people of God's living water given to them. It is during this festival that the most sacrifices are made. They're made because it's right after harvest. This festival happened in September. And they offered sacrifices because they remember of God's abundance. That God will provide and they believe God will provide in the future. It also, they offered a lot of sacrifices to remind themselves that one day there will no longer be need of sacrifice because God will dwell with his people once again. That God will no longer need sacrifice because there will be no more need for separation, for God will be with them. God will send a Messiah. And this celebration, long for the day where God's light would shine in the darkness, where God would provide living water, the Messiah would come. All this taking place in this festival that we hear Jesus shows up in the midst of. And Jesus begins to teach. We're told the Jewish leadership tries to arrest him, but they're not able to. That it's not yet Jesus' time. And then on the last day of the festival, the day where they don't do the water ritual, Jesus is in the temple and he stands up. He stands up among the crowd. He stands up as a teacher who usually would sit to teach. He stands up. He stands up so everyone will see and hear and makes this proclamation. You who are thirsty, come to me and I will give you life-giving water. Believe in me and it will flow from you. In this midst of the celebration of God being the light of the world, in the midst of the celebration where they long for a Messiah, in the celebration that they remind themselves that God has given them life-giving water, Jesus brings it all together in his ministry and in his proclamation. If you thirst, come to me. Being thirsty. Jesus is reminding the people who have to do this every year because God has yet to reveal God's self as they long for. And Jesus says, here it is. Here is what you have been waiting for. Here is what you have reenacted in this celebration. The need for water. You probably have seen in the paper how many of the cactuses around here who are used to long periods of drought have experienced devastation because not only have they lacked water, but the heat has been so hot. Many of the cactuses who have lived for years are now failing because they need that water to be able to survive the heat. Which reminds us that we need God's life-giving water to survive the pressures and the stresses of life. If we're not being nourished, it's hard to be sustained in those times of struggle and challenge. And the question is, where will you find that which satisfies your thirst? When we lived in Idaho, every summer we would go camping. And oftentimes we'd go camping up in the high country, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 feet. And this one time we were up camping, and usually when we were at camping, we'd find water sources. And it was always a temptation to drink that water. It was a temptation because usually the water was beautiful, like this particular picture. Usually it was very cold. It looked clean. And you just wanted to just drink it in deeply. But the friend that I'd always go with would remind me, he says, you can't drink that water. Because likely that water has giardia or other bacteria in it that will make you sick. And you don't want to get sick up at 9,000 feet. That's the problem with water, right? If the water looked ugly, if it was full of dirt and bugs and everything, I wouldn't be tempted to drink it. But it looked really good. It was nice and cold and refreshing. But yet, underneath, it didn't give me what I needed. It would have caused me to become more thirsty, not less. And that's the problem for us, isn't it? There's a lot of places that we can find things to satisfy our thirst, at least temporarily. There's a lot of good-looking water around us. Things that look appealing, look hopeful, that offer us what we think we want and need at that moment. But Jesus reminds us that all those things that look so appealing always lack the ability to do what they promise. that the only place to really find that water that will satisfy those deep longings in your spirit, in your life, is a life-giving water that Jesus offers us freely. Freely for us to come and to drink and to be satisfied, not to have to keep looking for more sources, wandering, hoping maybe this one will satisfy me. We find the source of life, and we can plant our lives and develop our roots deep in the promises and love of God. That's Jesus' promise for us today. That Jesus is life-giving water. Jesus is that which the people of Israel celebrated each festival of the tabernacle, longing for God to bring that. And he did in Jesus. He did it for the world to offer us that which we need to satisfy that thirst we have inside of us. So if you'd like to dig a little deeper in today's text, I invite you to think about this. Where are you drinking from to satisfy your thirst? What water sources are you hoping would satisfy that thirst you have in your life? Those places where you need something to quench that desire or that need or that want in your life. And does that source really provide you what you're wanting? Or are you still just wanting more after you drink? Does it lack the ability and power to do what it promises? I invite you this day, encourage you this day, to drink from the life-giving water Jesus offers us. That Jesus knows what we really need. Jesus understands what it's like to be human. Jesus knows what we hope for in our lives. And Jesus wants to fulfill it in each of us. Jesus wants us to be at peace. Jesus wants us to be like a tree planted by a stream that no matter what happens, no matter how hot it gets or how much of a drought there is, we will stay strong, we will have green leaves, and we will produce good fruits. That's God's promise to us. As Jesus stood up in the temple, he looked around at the people of God and says, "Beloved people of God, if you thirst, come to me. And I will give you life-giving water. Believe in me, and that water will flow from your life." Hear that word, and come and drink from the fountain of life. Amen.
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will now have the gathering of offerings. Psalm 42 expresses our fundamental need for God in our lives. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, prayers, and gifts of time, talent, and treasure for your mission in the world to bring good news, help, and hope for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have recently died, including Richard Stuckmayer, Mike Hoy, Esther Grimsley, and Kay Sauer. Oh God, receive them into the arms of your mercy and everlasting peace, And may the truth and promise of God's resurrection bring comfort and hope to their families and friends who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Leaving the prayer list with thanksgiving for healing are Charlie Anderson and Lois Youngren. We take time now to silently pray for those who remain on our prayer list, as well as for others in our hearts and for situations in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you are the one who makes streams flow from rock, who turns the parched earth into springs of water, who sends the rain from heaven and makes the wilderness blossom and flourish. As the deer pants for flowing streams, we thirst for you, O God. Life-giving God, pour out your living water on all who are thirsty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are spiritually thirsty, who long to know your presence, but don't know where to find you. We pray for those who are alone and without hope, those who long to feel needed and loved, and for those who are searching for meaning and purpose. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are physically thirsty, who long to be healed of the disease that has invaded their bodies, and for those who suffer from a lack of food or adequate shelter. We lift up the island of Maui that has been devastated by raging fires, and pray for those who have lost their lives, their homes, and their hope. Bless those who are rendering aid and offering support to those most deeply affected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we ask that you would open our hearts to the needs of all who thirst. Give us courage to work together for justice, to stand alongside those who are thirsty, so that all people, everywhere, may live without want or fear, and may discover the abundant life you promise to each one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Please stand as we join our hearts and voices to sing together the prayer that Jesus has taught us.
this service has been a blessing to those that are in the sanctuary, those that are online, as we continue to reflect the promise of God's love and care as we go through our lives each and every day. Hear the promise today and the blessing. As you go, go as those who belong to Christ Jesus. Love your neighbor. Find joy in simplicity. Make peace with all. Practice patience and kindness in your home. Offer goodness to those who don't deserve it. And let your actions and words be guarded by self-control. We do this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing hymn.
Go now, bearing the fruit of the Spirit into all the world.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.